Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
Hey, this is Brian Kane, your mental conditioning coach, and today we've got Matt Carpenter from the St. Louis Cardinals joining us today. And you probably remember Matt as a player who hit a Game 3 home run in the NLCS in 2012. And I got the chance to work with Matt, I think, his freshman year at TCU, and have followed his career all the way now up to the big leagues with the St. Louis Cardinals, and a guy who really made a decision to turn his career around and has reaped the benefit of that. So did the Frog Nation, as he was one of the top TCU players of all time, and you know, as a graduate of Elkins High School in Texas. And Carp, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and training to join us today, man.
You bet, man. I appreciate you having me on here, getting a chance to talk a little bit about some of the techniques that I've learned over the years that have helped me become the player that I am today.
Well, I appreciate it. If you could kind of just start by, you know, giving the people listening to this and reading this a background from your time at Elkins up to where you are now with the St. Louis Cardinals, and kind of give that capsule of your career.
Yeah. I played high school baseball down in Texas at Elkins High School, like you mentioned, for my dad, actually, who was my high school baseball coach. And, you know, I was always a baseball guru, a guy who just lived, breathed, and you know, slept the game. I mean, it was something I was always thinking about, always trying to, get to this point, you know, being a professional major leaguer. And, you know, as far as baseball goes, I felt like I had a pretty good grasp of that. I was a guy who was pretty much a student of the game and you know, was just kind of grew up around the ballpark. And, you know, I had a good high school career and was a highly recruited player and ended up choosing TCU as my college a choice and where I wanted to go. And when I got to college, I kind of had a rude awakening. I kind of was brought into an environment where, you know, now you're no longer the best player on the team. You've got guys who are the best players on every team they've ever played for all at one place. And I kind of got lost in the shuffle as a younger player. For many reasons, but mainly just because I really hadn't learned the techniques and the extra disciplines that it takes to succeed at the highest level. And, you know, it took an injury. It took an eye-opening experience for me as a junior to redevelop myself as both a player and really a person, and start putting those little daily disciplines and the mental game and all the things that that you teach and the things that I've learned over the course of my career into work. And from that point, it kind of jump-started me into where I am today, now a professional, you know, athlete and Major League Baseball player with the St. Louis Cardinals.
You know, Carp, you talked about that junior year and kind of the eye-opening experience. And I remember coming back to TCU in the fall, like I had done, you know, your freshman year when I met you, and sophomore year, and coming back in your junior year and literally did not recognize you physically. You know, you still had a lot of energy and seemed like you had changed yourself a little bit. Talk about that eye-opening experience and kind of that decision that you made.
Yeah, you know, Bert, that's the thing is, you know, I was always a guy that, you know, when I was at the field, you know, I worked hard. And even when, you know, you first came to TCU my freshman year, you know, I was a guy, I really bought in. I take that back. I always listened to what was being taught. And I was the guy that really, really wanted to be good and really wanted to be great, but wasn't doing the things necessary to be great. So when I was at the field, or practicing or whatever the case may be, I was getting after it. But I never went that extra step, and I never, you know, took it to myself to really push myself to be as good as I could possibly be. And, you know, that kind of experience for me was that my junior year, first year to be eligible for the Major League Baseball draft, I had Tommy John that season, and took a medical redshirt, ended up having surgery, and I watched, you know, guys that I had come to TCU with that were in the same class as me, getting drafted and going on to play professional baseball. And this was the same dream that I had as a high school player, and, you know, the same thought that I had when I first started at TCU was, oh man, I'm going to be here for 3 years and then I'll be off and going to do my pro thing. And, you know, next thing you know, I'll be in the big leagues. And when this kind of plan was interrupted with this injury, it kind of opened my eyes and was like, man, you know, I got to make some changes. And, like you said, I know, you know, a lot of guys didn't recognize me after that next year. I ended up, committing myself to not only on the baseball field, but also in other areas of my life, my nutrition. You know, I lost close to 50 pounds, really dedicated myself into the weight room, and just kind of almost a full makeover, you know, as a person. And you know, it definitely, you know, was one of those things that has jump-started me and propelled me into the position that I'm in today.
You know, in that your TCU career, you know, you came back that for that redshirt junior year, that senior year, and you know, led TCU to their super regional at the University of Texas. And you know, Carb, talk a little bit about just the, you know, now that you've had a chance to be in the big leagues and be in a postseason in the big leagues and played in a super regional and postseason in college. Talk about just the importance of college baseball, and now that you've been at the highest level, you know, how special is college baseball now that you can speak from a standpoint that you've been at the pinnacle, you've been in the Major League Baseball playoffs. You know, how has that changed your perspective on college baseball? Or what was that whole experience like for you?
Oh, man. You know, when you spend half a decade like I did in college, I mean, I can be a little biased than most people. I mean, I absolutely, without a doubt, I'm an advocate for college baseball. If you're a guy that's, you know, in high school and you're borderline, possibly a major league draft guy, and you know, you're thinking about whether you want to go to college or you want to sign professionally, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, college is, and the college baseball experience is something that not only developed me as a player, but it developed me as a person, as a husband, as the man I am, you know, today. I mean, the life lessons that I was taught as a college baseball player were second to none. I would never take back that opportunity to gain those experiences that I had in college. I think it's so critical and so valuable to becoming the player that you want to be or the person that you want to be. I see it all the time, you know, going up through the minor leagues, you know, guys that signed as high school players and you know, they're just missing. And they're still, and not to take anything away from them, because it's not like they're bad people, because there's plenty of people who've gone on to be successful without going to college, but they're just missing that life experience that you get while you're in college and being part of a college baseball program. I mean, there's so many things I could go on the list as long as I could, you know, think of the things that I've gotten to experience while in there. I mean, having the opportunity to work and meet you and you know, the other relationships that I've built, being a college baseball player, and you know, I just wouldn't take those back. You know, and even the struggles that I had my first couple of years, you know, I actually had dinner with my head college coach Jim Fosnagle about 2 weekends ago, and he asked me that question: if knowing what I know now, if I could have gone back to my freshman year and do it all over again and make some better decisions, would I do it? And I thought about it, and this is a question I thought about many times, and I don't think I would. You know, I think that the struggles and the things that I went through is my first couple years there and the changes that I ended up having to make, I think that I wouldn't be in the same position I am today if I wouldn't have gotten to go through those and learn from them and experience from them. So, you know, I'm a big college guy. You know, my nickname amongst my professional teammates is, you know, the college hero, Maddie College. You know, they always give me a hard time about that. So, you know, I couldn't say enough good things about it.
That's outstanding. And I think you know, playing with that type of energy that you do and playing the game, you know, the way that you played at TCU with that relentless energy pitch to pitch, I got to imagine that's part of what's also helped you succeed as a pro baseball player and make it to the big leagues.
There's no question. You know, as a minor league player, I really think, I mean, obviously, you know, you've got to play well, you know, to make it to the big leagues or to advance in the minor league systems. But I tell you what, if there was one thing that I could say that separated me from the other guys that I was competing against, it was, like you said, it was that energy and, you know, just that will, to win and be a part of the team. I mean, I can think of the things at TCU, the kind of the core values that our program was built around, and it was an attitude and effort. There's two things that, you know, he used to always say that, you know, he wouldn't coach was our attitude and effort. And it was hilarious to me because when I got to pro ball, those two things were things that I didn't even have to think about to do, and yet those were the two things that separated me the most from other guys. And, you know, it was just funny to me because, I mean, I didn't even think about that. That was just the way I was. That was just the way I was taught and what college baseball had kind of instilled in me and what kind of player I was. So, I mean, I was gaining so much attention and really separating myself so far from other guys just by the things that I didn't even think about doing. It didn't even seem like it was a big deal to me because that's just the way I was and the way I'd always been.
You know, and I think that's a tribute to your development and also to the staff at TCU. You know, when you were there, you played for, you know, three guys that are now head coaches in big time programs where Coach Lossnagel staying at TCU, and he's actually the 2013, you know, Team USA national coach, and Todd Whitting, who's now the head coach at the University of Houston, and Randy Mazey, who's now the head coach at West Virginia. You know, so you played for three guys that are cream of the crop in college baseball. For the coaches listening to this, Carp, what do you think are some of the things that those three guys did as coaches that made them so successful, that made you guys as a program so successful, and also helped attribute to that mentality that you've been talking about?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, like you just said, that kind of, the three guys I got to play for in college, I mean, were second to none. Between, you know, Randy Mazey and Tyler Winning and Jim Slossing, you know, all college coaches, like you mentioned. You know, the thing that they did so well, and Coach Frost, you know, kind of more than any of them, really, is the fact that there was nothing they wouldn't do to get better. And meaning, look, for example, you know, having you come out and speak to us, I mean, going that extra step to hire a mental coach, I mean, these are things that not every program were willing to do. And when I was at TCU, there was nothing that they weren't willing to do to make us better. If there was anything that they thought would make us, even if it was just a little bit better, even if they thought that we just might gain a little bit of knowledge by doing whatever it was that they thought about doing, they were willing to take that, you know, that risk or that investment, whatever you want to call it, they were willing to do that. And, you know, Coach Frost set a tone for that program while I was there that, you know, it was, we're going to get after it every day. And we're going to come to the park with the mentality of, we've got this time to get better right now. Let's make the most of it. And I've never been around a guy who literally, I mean, you can just, when you're around him, you have to be around him to realize it, but when you're around this guy, I mean, everything he does is centered around being a better coach, being a better program, building a better program, you know, making his team better, making his players around him better. I mean, his big recruiting tactic was, you know, I don't hunt, fish, or play golf. This is what I do. Baseball, this program is what I do. And, I mean, I don't think he could have said that any better because it's the honest fact. And, Brian, you know, as well as I do, being around him, I mean, that's really how the guy thinks. And being around that for 5 years and being at that program, you kind of, you know, those kind of, you know, those kind of personality will kind of rub off on you. And you kind of start to inherit those feelings yourself, and you know, you put that into your own, you know, style, and you kind of transport, you know, go about it your own way, and you learn, and you know, you kind of become, you know, kind of like him. And that's the way that I have been. I mean, I've kind of taken on that same kind of mentality, and it's benefited me in the long run.
That's awesome, Carp. Let's shift gears here a little bit from, you know, from talking baseball and program development, and just talk specifically on the mental game. If I were to ask you, what is the mental game to Matt Carpenter, what would you talk about?
You know, it's funny. I think my answer now would be different than when I first got introduced to the mental game. And the first time, you know, I'd really ever heard anything about it was when you first came to TCU and you know, started working with us. But, you know, for me, it's amazing, you know, when you get to this point that I've gotten in my career, it just hits you like a ton of bricks. You just realize that your biggest enemy or your biggest, the person you battle the most in baseball is yourself. And I mean, especially, you know, when you get at this level. I mean, everybody in this game is good at what they do when you get into professional and college baseball. And what separates the guys from being good and being great and separates a minor leaguer from a big leaguer or even a college baseball player from a professional baseball player is there's no question in my mind it's the mental game. And, you know, it's funny, you know, looking back and guys that I played with in college that there's no doubt they were better baseball players than me, and they'll admit it, and I'll admit it. But, you know, the reason that I'm still playing as opposed to they're still playing is, you know, I felt like I had a better grasp of the middle game than they did. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, that's the biggest part of succeeding at a high level is being able to separate, you know, all the negative thinking, all the, you know, you talk about the red lights and all the things that get in a player's way from being great. And you know, if you can somewhat, you know, get a grasp of that and start to learn from it and develop the techniques to control your mind while you're playing this game, you know, you're going to give yourself the best chance to be successful.
You know, Carp, you talked about how your biggest opponent is yourself and, you know, that negative thinking and red light mentality. What do you, for the people who are uninitiated into the mental game, what do you mean by red lights?
You know, that's one of the techniques that we learned from you while at TCU, and that red light is just a symbol for when you're starting, not even really when you're starting, a yellow light is what you would be like when you're starting to kind of feel like you're getting in your own way, whether you just made an error and you're starting to think about it and your mind's racing, oh, I don't want to make the next error. And, you know, when you get to that red light, yellow light mentality, you're starting to have that negative mind, that negative thought process kind of get in your way of being successful. Obviously, a green light would be when you're feeling at your best, when there's nothing, you know, whether you're not thinking or whether you're thinking is nothing but positive, whatever kind of, you know, mindset you have, whatever it is that's positive and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to make this play, or, hey, if this guy throws this pitch out, I'm going to drive it here, you know. Good thoughts are always filling your head. When you're in that yellow and red light mentality, that's when that negative thinking is creeping in. You know, you've made an error, or you struck out. Man, I don't want to strike out again. I've already struck out once. Or, man, this is the biggest game of my life. I'm in the playoffs. This is the game three of the NLCS. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, there's so many people watching. I hope I don't make a mistake on national TV. Those are the kind of thoughts that you want to stay away from. And that's what I mean by that red light mentality.
And those thoughts are, I think those thoughts are always going to come, Carp. It's not like you, I mean, you played in game three of the NLCS. You've played in front of the biggest crowds you possibly can in the Major League Baseball playoffs. I mean, is it just that those thoughts don't show up at all, or do those thoughts show up and you're able to recognize them and release them before those yellow lights turn into red lights?
No doubt. And, you know, that's something that takes practice. And you know, obviously, you know, the work that we put in college, working for you, I mean, these were techniques that we learned, you know, releasing those mental bricks and being able to recognize when you're starting to think like that and how to get yourself out of it. You know, everybody's ways are different, and, you know, everybody kind of has their own style of how they do that. For me, you know, we talked about that focal point. You know, for me, I some hitters have those batting gloves, and that can be their focal point. You know, I'm a guy who actually doesn't use batting gloves, so I had to do something different, to regain my focus. So, you know, when I start to feel like I'm getting in that kind of mentality where my mind's racing and I'm thinking negative, that's when I really try to control my breathing. One of the things that I learned, early on in my career is that a good breath is a very vital tool in slowing the game down. And, you know, we talk about slowing the game down. I think that's a huge part about baseball. I know you talk a lot about that. I mean, that's really the key to this game is being able to slow it down and when things speed up. So I think the breath, the deep, you know, cleansing release of that energy and that kind of nervous energy is a big thing. I kind of try to visualize, like, as I'm taking my big breath, that I'm inhaling oxygen, obviously, and then when I release, I'm releasing literally all those butterflies or whatever I'm feeling, that kind of nervous butterfly feeling, I'm just releasing it out of my mouth and visualizing it just coming pouring out as I take my exhale. And that's something that just really kind of calms me down and puts me right back in that mind frame that I need to be in. And then, you know, I talked earlier about that focal point. For me, it's always been down in my cleats. You know, I know that that's my spot that I can kind of take back, regroup, look down at my cleats and realize, okay, time to go. Let's get back in that good frame. Let's get back in that good frame of mind, and let's get back to focusing on the things that I can control and not the things that I can't control.
Awesome. Carp, great stuff. So when we watch you hit on TV and your head's down, you're not looking at the corner of the plate, you're looking at your shoe.
Exactly.
And that's a focal point for you, that if you can see your shoe, that says you're in the present moment and you're playing one pitch at a time.
Exactly right.
Carp, talk a little bit about, you know, we talk about the three Ps and, you know, living in the present, playing one pitch at a time, controlling the process, and controlling what you can control, and then staying positive. And you've addressed all of those so far. Talk a little bit specifically about playing one pitch at a time and what that means to you.
Well, I think playing one pitch at a time is being focused exactly on what's going on right now. So I think if you're thinking about your previous at bat or the error that you made in the first inning, you're not focused on what's happening right now. You're going to be either step late on a ground ball hit to your left. You're going to be in the wrong position on a double play. You're going to not cover that bag that you're supposed to be covering. Whatever the case may be, you're going to be off because you're not focused on what you need to be focused on at this present moment. And that was something, especially as a young player, you know, I just really had no grasp on. I mean, and I think a lot of guys go through that. I mean, you want to be, and really, I think understanding why that happens is one of the key reasons of how you can fix it. And for me, it's just everybody goes through it. You just want to be the best player you could possibly be. So you're constantly, you know, thinking about what your last bat and how you could have made it better. At least this is the way I was. I mean, if I went up there my first at bat and I struck out, or I took a pitch I should have drove, whatever the case may be, you know, I just start really thinking about that event and like, man, why'd I do that? How can I fix it? You know, it's just in my mind, and I'm thinking that that's the way I should be thinking because I want to try to improve, but the reality is I'm getting my own way, and it's only going to make this game go on even worse than it started if I continue to think like that. And that was something I had to learn, that as soon as this at-bat's over, it's over with. You got to flush it, and, you know, you talked about, you know, flushing it, you know, using that mental imagery of actually flushing that toilet and saying, okay, that at bat's over, I'm just going to flush it and not even think about it anymore, go on to the next at bat or the next pitch, you know, or go play defense, whatever it is that's going on. And I just think that's so important in this game. You know, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, that, you know, you get your own way. You know, your biggest enemy sometimes can be yourself. And if you can get to a point where you can control that, you're going to give yourself the best chance to be successful. So, like I said, I mean, I'm always focused on this pitch because I can't change the pitch before. If I made an error the pitch before, it's over with. I can't change it. I got to be focused on this next pitch. And if I'm locked in for an entire game on one pitch at a time, each pitch is its own pitch, and I'm focused on that one, then I'm going to give myself the best chance to be good and be successful for that game.
Outstanding. And Carp, you've mentioned a lot, you know, just being able to control what you can control. And there's so many factors in this game of baseball that you can't control. Talk a little bit about that and what you've seen, you know, being at the professional level now, you know, where guys getting caught on organizational moves or things that they're outside of their control, or whether they're in the lineup. And talk a little bit about that, controlling what you can control.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer in this. And this was something, for the first time in my career, you know, this part of my mental game was something that I had to use more this season than I've ever had in my life. For the first time in my life, I was a bitch player, for lack of a better word, like a utility player, a guy that no matter how well I did, I could go to the park one day and get a start in left field and go 4-for-4 with 2 home runs and 5 RBIs. I could come back the very next day and not be in the lineup. And for me, this was really hard, you know, from a mental standpoint, because you want to play so bad and you feel like you're deserving to play and you want to be in there, but yet, as well as you do, you have no control over writing this lineup. The only thing that I could do was come to the park every day ready to play, be focused on being ready to play, and if I was in the lineup, then I could go out and give it my best effort. Early on in the season, I was letting this get to me, and it was causing me, you know, a lot of stress. And it was really affecting my play when I did get my opportunity to get in there. And once I finally realized it, I didn't let it last long. Thankfully, because of the work that I've done in the middle game and the techniques that I've gotten and the things that I've learned, I addressed it early and finished the season, using these techniques and did a great job with it and ended up being, really almost a strength of mine. But, I just had to really get back to the basics and realize that, hey, you know, I can't control what this lineup's going to be written. I can't control if I'm going to be in there. All I can control is when I'm in there, that I'm going to play it one pitch at a time, that I'm going to give it my best effort, that I'm going to work as hard as I can. Those are the things that I can control. And, you know, to go one step further, that goes for everything. I mean, even if you are in there every day, I mean, you can't control what the strike zone is going to be like. You can't control the weather. You can't control whether a family member just recently got sick, whether, you had a blackout on the way to the park, whatever it is. I mean, there's things that you just can't control, and they can either have an impact on the way you're thinking that day, or they can't. And if you can focus on the things that you can control, which are your effort, are your attitude, your focus, those kinds of things, then, you're going to be in the best mind frame for that day, for that game, for that season.
Awesome. Carp, there's a lot of players that'll be listening to this, college baseball players, maybe some guys in the minor leagues that hope probably coming into the interview were going, yeah, mental game, I don't know what that is. I'm not sure I buy in. Obviously, you've been doing it now for a long time. How long was it until you realized, hey, this is something that's going to make a difference for me? Was it your freshman year, or was it something that kind of took some time?
That's the thing is, I think my freshman and sophomore year, I was hearing everything that was being said, and I don't think I actually listened to my junior year. What I mean by that is I always was in the meetings, was fired up, ready to learn, and the reason I say hearing is because as soon as it was over, did I really buy in? I mean, I would like to say yes, but I didn't get the results that I thought or that I should have been getting if I really and truly was bought in. And then my junior year came, and it was just on another level because that's when I really bought in to what I was doing. When I really put in those things, those work, that work, those techniques, the middle game on a daily basis, not just at the field. I mean, you can not just in a game, but just in life. I mean, just everything that I did in the weight room, and with the way I ate, my nutrition, in the classroom. I mean, that's the thing that I really think people, don't always understand is this mental game. Of course, it's a baseball thing, but you can take these same principles and apply them to all facets of your life. And that was something that I did. That's something that helped me not only as a baseball player but as a person. Because think about it. I mean, that's life. I mean, you can't control things in this life. You can control what you. There's only certain things you can control, and if you can do those to the best of your ability, no matter what it is, then that's a recipe for being successful at anything, not just baseball. So, I think that was for me. It was that junior year, that kind of life-changing, sad reality that I had to go through, that horrible injury and sitting out that entire year and just kind of watching people, grow up in front of me and leave and go on to play professional baseball. That was the moment for me where I was like, okay, I need to really buy into this, and I did, and I couldn't be happier.
Carp, last question for you. If you could remove the skull cap of all the college baseball players and the people out there, that have maybe been in your shoes where they were freshmen or sophomore or they're in high school and they hear the mental game, but they're not, they're listening, but they're not hearing, I think is the way you said it. What would be the final thought, that seed that if you could remove their skull cap and plant one seed in their brain, what would that seed be? What would that final thought be that you'd want to leave them with?
If I had a room full of freshmen, freshman college players, or I mean, really, it doesn't matter what age, because obviously I learned at a later age, but obviously the quicker you can learn it, the better. If you want to be, you're only going to be as good as a baseball player is your physical gift can only take you so far. So as good as you are physically made to play this game, that's as good as you're going to be. But if you want to take it to the extra level, if you want to be an overachiever, if you want to be better than the guys that you played with, or if you want to be that guy that people go back, man, how did this guy make it? I was a better player than he was. Then the mental game is something you got to buy into. You know, I'm a living example of that. I mentioned it earlier. There are plenty of guys that I played with, and growing up, there's plenty of guys that I played with at TCU. There's plenty of guys that I played with all over my career that are better baseball players than I am. But I reached a higher level than they did because of the mental game, because I bought into it, because I practiced what, you know, that we learned from you, because I put it in on a daily basis. And if you really want to buy into that, if you really want to do those things, then you'll do the same. But if you don't, you just don't believe it, or whatever the case may be, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll have that eye-opening experience I did and got hurt, and you'll get to see it, and then maybe that'll change you. But if not, then, you know, you'll have to learn it some other way. But for the guys that want to do it, they'll reap those benefits.
Awesome. Karp, I appreciate you taking the time, man, out of your busy schedule to do this interview. And for all the people that'll be listening to this, what's your Twitter handle? Because I'm sure there's going to be a heck of a lot of Matt Carpenter fans out there, if not already, definitely after they've heard this.
Well, Brian, man, I appreciate you having me on anytime, man. I'm never too busy to come on here and talk a little bit with you. So, my Twitter handle is @MattCarp13.
At MattCarp13. We'll make sure we get that out. And Carp, again, I want to thank you, man, and appreciate you coming on, and I'm just, you know, proud of you and your development as a man, and your development as a baseball player, and how you have just gotten the most out of your potential and gotten the most out of your ability, and I'm happy to see the success that you're having.
All right, man.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Cain Peak Performance Podcast. Please make sure that you visit briancain.com, that's briancain.com, and sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area, so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Cain Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.